Our scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Years ago, I did a funeral, and this was in Rhode Island, and a fellow was at the funeral, and he said he was moved at the funeral. He heard the gospel again, and he said, "I haven't been in church since I was a kid, because when I was a kid, I was going to church. I was in Sunday school every week. And then I saw a deacon smoking out in the community," said, "and I knew it was all false." He said, "Now I'm not so sure." And I tried to say to him, we don't worship the deacon, right? This kind of mix-up, confusing the church and worshiping the church and the people in the church with worshiping Christ, is what this chapter's about. We've got to thank the Lord. Well, I'm going to read the chapter. "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each one his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they'll each be rewarded according to their own labor, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace of God, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light," that is Judgment Day. "It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, 'He catches the wise in their craftiness.' And again, 'The Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile.' So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. And may the Lord guide us and help us in our walk with Him as we consider how we can apply this text to ourselves. When I first got married, I expected Noel to make me happy. Have any of you made that mistake? And she's a good woman. But I, after a while, like for the first 6 months, I was thinking, she hasn't really changed my life. She's not really making me happy. And it took me about 6 months to figure out the basic essential thing, that she didn't make a very good God. And I had to look to the Lord Jesus Christ to worship and not Noel. And when I put Christ back on the throne of my life, I found God had given me a pretty good woman. And if we don't get too mixed up in the church, in our relationships, if we understand that God uses people, but God gets the praise, then we won't be set up like the guy who expected somehow that the people in the church were going to be perfect. And it was all flummoxed when he saw the deacon smoking. You, if you're visiting this church or if you've been to this church for a little while, you may be under the delusion, now I found the perfect church. I couldn't pastor the perfect church because I'm not the perfect pastor. And I know that it's a wonderful thing to experience the love of Christ through people. When I was a teenager and I was struggling with puberty and I thought I was the worst and only disgusting person on the planet, filled with self-loathing for all of the changes that I didn't know everybody else was going through. And I thought, God can't possibly love me because I really despise myself. I went to camp, and people who didn't even know me loved me with the love of the Lord. And my life was changed because God used people. They were happened to be in Advent Christian camp, so I thought Advent Christians were like perfect. I used to go out, I got right with the Lord that summer, and then, you know, when you're at camp, you do all the stuff that is helpful and necessary for a healthy Christian life. You have your devotions every day because your counselor is saying, it's quiet time, get your Bibles and read. You pray and you share and you talk about your faith, and in that week, you feel like the world has opened up to you. And then I got home from camp and I stopped reading my Bible and I stopped praying. And it wasn't very long before I felt very backslidden. And about the middle of the winter, I felt pretty lonesome again. And I got on my father's snowmobile and I rode out to Big Lake. And I went up to the tabernacle. It was all snowed in. And I went up and I looked through the window because I thought, maybe Jesus is still in there. I confused the building. I confused the place with the person of Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord that summer. I can tell you the preacher was Leon Horn. I don't know if any of you remember Leon Horn. And he ministered to my life. And Ron Walton ministered to my life. And Glenn Jordan ministered in my life. And my life has been changed by a whole series of people. Earl Waterman Jr. was my mentor. And were any of those people perfect people? They were not Jesus Christ. They were like this wedge. That wedge is something that you can use to split wood. You can see I've used it to split wood. But it's God that's got to swing the hammer. When God swings the hammer, it's a mighty force to change our lives. And we praise the Lord. Now, you would think that we'd be all disillusioned because we'd say, well, the people of that church, you know, I thought they were perfect. And then I found out that they yelled at their kids on the way to church. Of course, none of you actually, this is just a made up. None of you ever actually yelled at your kids on the way to church. You come into church and someone that you barely know gives you a hug and says, how are you? And your heart is touched and you're moved to say, I've had a rough week, and they take your hand. It's never happened out in the world, never happened on the workplace. Someone takes your hand and says, let me pray with you right now. And God does something in your life. And you think, that person is wonderful. That person is just a wedge. Right? But somehow, knowing that Lynn Horn and Glenn Jordan and Ron Walton and all of you, just knowing that you're all people, just people, doesn't make the love seem any less special. I'm telling you. If God uses you in my life, I praise the Lord, and I'm so thankful for you. I'm so grateful. And I don't expect you to be perfect. I expect, and you'll find from the book of 1 Corinthians, in that first chapter, Paul calls them all saints, and then he reams them out good. He expects that they're going to try to be like Jesus Christ. But this is the book, we don't get there yet, but this is the book that's got chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I'm a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And it talks about love is faithful, love is kind, love is not rude, it does not boast, it does not envy, it is not proud. We have this great teaching about love in a church that is really whacked out with all sorts of problems among people that are trusting Christ, but they're still broken. Doesn't that encourage you? And listen, if you were just looking for a place to come closer, to find out if grace is true, I want to say that, and you're trying out our church, we don't expect you to be perfect either. But we expect that God can use you. Because when God swings them all, it's a mighty, mighty crack. God does things. God does things of wonder in our lives to bless each other. Paul says we've got one purpose here. And that purpose is to share the love of Jesus Christ, share the gospel. And he likens it to farming. I plant and Apollos waters, but God brings the increase. And so we set our hearts on planting. We're not like farmers, always just working on the machinery. We're going to actually sow Jesus' love into people's lives and say, I love you, but more importantly, Jesus Christ loved you and he gave his life as a sacrifice for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. My love is broken and temporary. His love is eternal and life-changing. And so we plant the seed, the love of Jesus Christ. And God, as he touches people's lives, he adds people to the church, making us a place where God is worshipped. I love that song, In This Very Room. Didn't you like that song? You say, I don't see Jesus here. It's talking about by his Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is among us in this place, hearing our prayers, empowering us, forgiving us, and helping us to be more than we could ever be by ourselves. And in this fellowship that we have as part of the body of Christ, it's chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. We're all different parts, and we've all got different parts to play. And we've all got different personalities, and praise the Lord for all the differences. And as we get to know each other in the Lord, I want to just continue to encourage you to make friends. And I can't make friends for you. I have to tell you, I'm quite a friendly person. You probably didn't guess that. And I had a pastor tell me when I was first in the ministry, he said, when you're in a church as a pastor, you can't make friends with the people. because it will cause jealousy. And I've ignored his advice ever since. And the Apostle Paul is part of this chapter is teaching that in this, if we focus on people too much, it's going to cause jealousy and problems. And say, well, the pastor's closer to this one than he is to that one. You know, Jesus had an inner three. They got to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Apostle John twits everybody over and over and over again by saying, and the disciple that Jesus loved. If Jesus had a best friend, so can I. And you've got to deal with that. Because I'm going to have a best friend. I need people. I can't share everything with everybody, but I've got to have people with whom I share everything. I've got to have that. And you do too. And I want to say, I when I was pastoring at Attleboro, I preached the essence of this message. We've got to love each other in grace, and we can't be filled with jealousy. You know, the last part of the chapter should be the cure for all jealousy. You say, well, I want to be her best friend. Paul says, look, you've got Christ Jesus. In him you've got the world and everything there is. So be content in Christ Jesus. And don't be jealous of other people's friendships, but take responsibility for yourself. I've had people in that church in Attleboro. I said, you know, there are new people in the church, and you ought to reach out to them. And the new people ought to reach out to each other and make friendships. You ought to invite each other home to dinner. And there was a family there. They were fun. A new couple. They were vivacious. They were chatty. They were approachable. And they got 6 or 7 invitations to dinner that day. You've got to think outside the box. And you've got to reach out and invest in other people. And if you don't know how to be a friend, I think if you're really a lonely person, then the first step is to try to bless somebody. That's the first step in friendship, is to not seek to use somebody, but to bless somebody. And as you bless people, things will happen naturally in your life. You'll be the wedge. And surprise, 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 God will use you with great power. And people will say, you're something special, because God has used you.